brought to you by ConcordiaTheology.org, bringing you resources that support the vigorous life of the mind in service of the gospel of Christ.
Welcome to Lectionary Kickstart. We're sparking your thoughts for Sunday as you plan your sermon and teaching lesson. I'm your host and producer, Jessica Bordolo, here with Dr. David Schmidt and Dr. Peter Nafsker. They're both professors of homiletics here at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. You can hear all about us in our introductory episode, but trust me, they are pretty good preachers. All right, let's get started. Peter, where are we in the church year?
We're talking about the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, a time when the church thinks about the work of the Holy Spirit in us and among us and through us for the sake of the world.
And David, what's the text this week?
Numbers 11, James 5, Mark 9, and Psalm 104.
As always, I ask each of you to tell me which text you would choose to preach on. To determine who goes first this week, in your opinion, which food most needs salt?
French fries.
Ah, okay.
I was going to say eggs.
Eggs.
Without okay. Something salty, eggs are too bland. I was going to say margaritas, but...
Ooh, oh, man. Wow, that's one of your food groups.
I was going to say avocados. They're just mush without salt. Oh, but I agree more on the egg one. So, Peter, congratulations. You win. You get to go first.
All right. I'm thinking about preaching on the reading from Numbers, from the Old Testament reading. Numbers is an interesting book of the Bible. It is one that we don't read a whole lot from.
That's right, yeah.
Too many numbers.
But this text I found very interesting as I was reading through it because it picks up, it starts with the people of God complaining like they were in after the Exodus, there's no good food. And unlike the reading in Exodus, they go into all sorts of detail with the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, all this kind of stuff.
And all the things that need salt.
All the things that need salt. That's right. That's right. But this isn't really a text about the people grumbling. Back in August, I think it was, or maybe July, we had readings from Exodus 16 on the people grumbling, and that was the bread of life mm-hmm. paired with the bread of life readings from John 6. But this one from Numbers has a different take on it. And so what I would like to do is, Jessica, if you would read verses 11 to 15 to get us started, that'd be great.
Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child'? To the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I'm not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me."
All right, this is Moses complaining to God about the people that he has to care for.
He is letting it all hang out there.
He is. And so what I'm thinking about for this sermon is I'm thinking about a sermon for those who care for others.
Hmm.
Okay.
That's great because as I was reading this, I was thinking of how I pack lunches for my kids every day.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, I cannot find the food that you want. Give me Reese's. Give me Snickers. You're asking for
Give me
this?
Melons. Give me leeks.
Right? Yeah. No. So it reminded me of packing lunches.
I used to get a dill pickle.
In your lunch?
In my lunch, and it would like, it would bleed, it was it was in foil, and it would like soak everything else. It was really gross. But anyway, yeah, okay.
Better than leeks?
I know, I guess it is.
But I was thinking about, Moses here is articulating things that I think a lot of people who care for others feel at times. You know, I think about the various people who spend their lives caring for others. You know, you're a parent, Jessica. Teachers spend their time. My wife is a high school teacher, caring, pouring into kids. You think about nurses, anyone in the service industry, restaurant workers, they care for others. That's what they do. That's their vocation. And then also there's some who aren't in that industry and don't have caring explicit vocations. But they still, when they're Christians, if they're listening to you preach, they're called to care for others. And so for some people, it would be very clear that, yes, I'm a caregiver, and maybe I'm just worn out like Moses was. for other people, maybe they would start to see themselves more as a bit of a caregiver. But the idea here is that this is a sermon meant for those who care for others.
And you know, and I'm glad you're doing that, because with caring for others, you feel bad complaining, right? Because you just feel guilty about it. And like, you know, you should just buck up and do it. And so you kind of feel isolated and you feel poorly about how you're feeling. So this is good.
Yeah. Even when you're kind of acknowledged for being a good caretaker,
right,
it's still just really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this would be along these lines, and it would also be a teaching sermon about how does God care for caretakers. Would be kind of a way to think about this. I also think the sermon, as I'm thinking about how I might put this sermon together, I might do a bit of a narrative sermon where I am telling the story of the Exodus and the wandering in the book of Numbers in the wilderness from the vantage point of Moses, specifically from his perspective. What is it like to lead the people of God? And I would highlight verse 14. Would you read verse 14 again, Jessica?
I'm not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me.
Now, Moses, now before you go to the people today who are feeling like that, who could maybe even say those very things, I think it would be helpful to reflect on Moses and kind of back up a little bit. We're after the Exodus. This is after Sinai. The book of Numbers is kind of like one of those filler books in a way that it kind of connects parts of the story that the events and Numbers itself are not necessarily the huge events in the biblical narrative, but they connect huge events. Which reminds me, do you know off the top of your head what the Hebrew name for the book of Numbers is?
Any chance?
Nope.
The Hebrew name for Numbers is called In the Wilderness.
Mm. Well, that is a much more engaging title.
It is. And I thought, you know, that's an interesting way to think about this takes place in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, when you are a caregiver, when you're Moses, it doesn't take long at all for the people to not just grumble, that's what it says in Exodus 16, but they're weeping and they're longing, they're hurting. And Moses is trying to care for them and he just can't. And then I would maybe think about how caregivers today, I mean, have you ever said that as a parent, Jessica? I am not able to carry all of the people alone.
The
burden is too heavy
for
me.
Or at least I can't do all the things that go with the people. You know, it can be really overwhelming because I want to care for them well. But yeah, sometimes it's overwhelming.
And it goes kind of the other direction too. I know there's a lot of people who are caring for older parents. And that can be a really heavy burden too. And so thinking about maybe some situations in your congregation that people would say that, help them identify with Moses would be kind of the first part of the narrative move. So the first would be the burden, exploring that in the narrative and then in the lives of your people. The second part would be the prayer. And that's what you read earlier, Jessica. And I was wondering as you were reading that, do your prayers ever sound like that?
You know, I didn't even think that was a prayer. Usually when I think of prayers, I think of something a little bit more
sweet.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it
formulaic.
Just sounds like
yeah.
It doesn't sound like a prayer, it just sounds like he's
complaining.
Right.
This is from a sermon you preached a long time where you talked about prayer, conversation right. with God as prayer. And this is a Moses coming to God, pleading, kind of questioning. There's a lot of questions in that
mm-hmm.
prayer. It's kind of prayer that maybe doesn't sound like a prayer because
it's
I'm not
sassy.
Sure where...
He's sass talking. Did I conceive these people? Did I give them birth? Well, he knows that he didn't. So it sounds like he's kind of sass talking the Lord.
Yeah. So, but it's an honesty.
Yeah.
He's speaking from
right.
his heart. I care for these people, but did I do this? I didn't ask for this. And it's a very direct and bold prayer, I think, which is. I think an invitation to us to talk to God honestly
mm-hmm.
and directly and boldly. And I'm not sure if I would encourage people from the pulpit to sass God, but there's a little bit of just, come on, God, you know, you've given me this job. Now help me with this. There's even a little bit of a despair in his prayer. And so in this part, so in this narrative, I would explore a little bit this conversation that really a one-sided conversation that Moses has in those verses with God, and think about that and invite people to consider their own prayer lives. And if you could say anything to God about how hard it is to be a caregiver, what would you say to him? I'd maybe even give people just a moment to reflect on that and to formulate in their own heads what aspect of their caregiving would they say, God, I can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
So the prayer would be the second. So that would be the movement from the text to your people. And then the last kind of movement in the narrative would be, I'd call maybe the support. So you've got the burden, the prayer, and the support. And so God responds. It's interesting to what kind of seems a little bit like a bit of a sassy prayer. Would you read verse 16, Jessica?
Then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you.
So God responds to Moses' prayer, his bold plea, his exasperating plea, by saying, go gather some people to help you, essentially. And that's where it goes in verses 24 to 29. That Moses goes and he gathers these 70 elders, and then the spirit that God has given to Moses, he puts some of the spirit on these 70, and then he responds to the caregiver Moses by surrounding him with a support team, essentially. And then he puts his spirit on them to support and help Moses carry the burden, so he's not doing it alone. Now, I think about that in terms of the lives that we have today as Christians, and this is where I think the preacher could help open the eyes of his hearers to the people that God has put his spirit on in the congregation. Even, you know, there's the people in the congregation that are supportive, even the people around outside who have God has provided to support the caregivers today.
That's really encouraging. Because sometimes you get mom guilt for asking for help. Because, like, I should be able to do this. This is a great blessing. I love being a mom. You don't want to ask people to help you. But if Moses did, maybe it's okay if I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember being a pastor up in Minnesota, and there's members of the congregation who helped out Katie, my wife, tremendously as a caregiver of little ones. When we had little ones all over the place, and people who just said, here, let me take one of them for you. Let me take two of them for you. And she's like,
for how long? For how long?
But the support there that God provides through Moses. So this is a narrative sermon that's kind of walking through the text. Now, you'll notice so far I haven't said anything about Jesus. And that's where, you know, what you've got to do at some point is you've got to step outside the narrative and think about how am I going to make a connection to the gospel of Jesus in a sermon like this. And you got to think a little bit about what promise are you going to proclaim to your hearers. If we've kind of laid out the trouble is the burden and the despair and the weariness, I think I would make a kind of a typological move. And the 70 elders are kind of like a type of the church that God puts us and surrounds us and supports us with his people, the church. And he does this by putting the spirit by whom Jesus was conceived and the spirit through whom Jesus did miraculous signs and the spirit that Jesus gave up on the cross and the spirit by which he was raised from the dead and the spirit that he gave to his disciples on Pentecost. This spirit he gives through his word, through his promises, through baptism to the people of God. And so those 70 elders, now all Christians are those who've been filled with the Spirit, whom God has given us to support us and to care for us. And in that way, that would be a little bit of, you know, Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and I'll give you rest. I would want to think about the church as the body of Christ that then provides the support for caregivers today.
I kind of like that move to Jesus saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think that's a well-known verse, and so you're tapping into all of the sermons that we've heard about that verse and all of the things we know about it. So it gives a small reference a lot more punch.
David, what about you? What would you preach on?
Well, I am also going to preach on the Numbers text.
All right.
I wanted to try to deal with the whole text. And you know how sometimes the text is just too large and you should do the right thing like you did and narrow it down to something that you can handle. And then, you know, I'm like, well, I'm going to try to do the whole text. And so in doing the whole text, I was trying to think about a theme that would kind of flow through the whole sermon. And the theme I was coming up with was abundance and how do we handle abundance? And, you know, they talk about America as a land of plenty, right? Mm-hmm. And when you think about what we have in versus other places around the world, we are gifted with an abundance. And so the question is going to be kind of a big theme is going to be an abundance. And then I have basically three unrelated points that kind of hold to that theme. And so I guess you would say if I had to have parts, I would say I have a warning, I have encouragement, and I have a prayer. So those three things. So the first is the warning, and that's the very beginning of the text when our focus is on the people of Israel. Jessica, could you read verse 5 and 6?
We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at.
To look at.
I love that. I know. Why did you say that?
You'd think it would say there's nothing but this manna to eat.
Right.
And they're saying to look at
to
it.
To look
it's
at.
Like they just despise.
Right. They
even
despise
the sight
it,
of it
so much they wouldn't even desire to eat it.
There's nothing but this miraculous bread from heaven that appears out of nowhere. I'm sick of this miracle.
Yeah.
That cracks me up.
And it's, you know, our strength. And there's nothing but this manna to look at. And that to me is really kind of the insightful, bizarre twist to their cry. And so for me, this is the warning. And the warning is don't let the memory of abundance in the past blind you to the work of God in the present.
Oh, that's so helpful because our memories remember abundance.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more abundantly than often it was.
I remember when they used to put chairs in the aisle at this church.
Right. Yeah.
Well, all the people come in here. I remember when we used to not have trouble with our budget, right? I remember, we've got.
When everybody got along.
Everybody
and there was no trouble.
Right, no trouble at all. Right. So we have these memories of abundance in the past, and those can be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, we're getting close to Thanksgiving, and that's one of the things that happens at Thanksgiving. I remember one person once saying that, you know, sometimes you give thanks for what you have, and sometimes you give thanks for what you had, right? And you know, memories of abundance can be beautiful, and they can help us know that there was a time when we were loved and it was abundant, but they can also be a snare, and they can cause you to despise what God's doing in your present moment. So, you know, I remember when this Bible class used to have 60 people and now I've got 5. Well, you've got 5.
Right.
Right. And the Lord's still working among those 5. You know, and so we don't see the beauty of God's work in the present because we're remembering the abundance of the past. And it's that phrase, you know, this manna to look at, which just shows you how much that memory of abundance has perverted their vision, that they can't see this manna as a gift to eat. It's not even something I don't even want to look at. You know, so we've got basically three different figures in the story working with abundance. You've got the crowd of Israel working with abundance. You've got Moses working with abundance. And you've got God working with abundance. And so the people here are letting the memory of the past blind them to God's work in the present. So then we move to Moses. And, you know, Peter, you've covered greatly exactly what I would probably do with this part, with Moses' piece. And Jessica, if you could just read verses 14 and 15.
I'm not able to carry all these people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you'll treat me like this, kill me at once if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness.
Okay, so for me, remember I said I have a warning and I have an encouragement. And the encouragement here is, as bad as Moses sounds, God still responds to this as a prayer.
Yeah.
Right. And the encouragement is what kind of a God you have. And so the Moses is struggling with the abundance of responsibility. He's thinking about the responsibility that God has given him, what God has tasked him with. He enumerates all of the things that God desires for him to do for the people. And he reaches the point with all of that responsibility that he just can't handle it. And what I think is beautiful about it is that Moses lets it all out. He just honestly and boldly lays it all before the Lord. And that's where the encouragement is that when you're dealing with an abundance of responsibility and you can't handle it, go talk to someone, right? Talk to a fellow Christian, share this with them, because there is nothing wrong in that feeling. You're recognizing your limitedness, you're recognizing your inabilities, and you're just laying it out. And of course it's going to come out in a bad way. I mean, you know, you don't expect a dog in pain to smile, they'll bite you, right? I mean, so, you know, when you're in pain, it's going to be rough, but laying it all out before God, and then God's response is to take it as a prayer. And so there's an encouragement there.
Thank you for talking about the abundance in the past, not allowing you to focus on the present. As a person in the pew for years, that's a lot of what I've heard from Christian leaders is, it used to be this way and now it's that way. But it's not an exhortation that is relatable for me because I wasn't alive then. It's not my fault that it's changed, and there's nothing I can do about it. So it's like saying, welcome to the club. It used to be great, but now it stinks. So So I'm so glad that you said that. I think that's so insightful of you and would be helpful for me as someone listening.
I remember talking to a pastor once who I thought was really insightful. He said, you know, he had very few members. He had like, I don't know, 35 members. And he said, you know, he said, if I take the number of 35 members and I look at it at this congregation's history as the end of their 80 years, there are 35 members. He said, it's a very sad story. He said, but if I was to think about a new story of a church plant and I'm planting a church and I've got 35 people, that's a good story. So we start with the abundance of the past, then we have the abundance of responsibility, and then with the last section, it's the abundance of the Spirit. And Jessica, if you could read again verse 25.
Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and he took some of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it.
I love that he took some of the Spirit that was on him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to have to look into that and kind of figure out what does that mean. But it's kind of like, so this Moses who is so upset and feels so inadequate, he has enough Spirit to empower 70 elders to share, right? I mean, it's just amazing that the abundance of the Spirit that the Lord has at his disposal. All of these things breaking apart as the abundance of God's Spirit is shattering any of our expectations. And it's that, to me, that's the beauty of it, is that we have a God who hears our complaint and responds by shattering our expectations and bringing this abundant Spirit into our midst. So,
yeah, that's, I think you did a pretty good job actually tying together the whole text with a theme, because that is there's so many textual details when you go through a longer text like this that you could just, it could turn into this Bible study that goes 15 different directions.
Right, that's the problem.
And by kind of bringing it around a theme of abundance, then that helps the whole thing hold together.
Yeah, so we got two sermons, right? We got one that's working with character, the character of Moses, which is really going to personalize the event for us and help us kind of see things through his eyes, and we'll resonate. People love people, so we'll resonate with Moses and his difficulty, and then we'll begin to see the character of God in direct response to that human relationship. And then you've got this sermon, which is much more of a kind of a broader thematic thing that's just kind of taking events in the text and trying to meditate on how do they help us think about living with abundance, both the abundance of the past, the abundance of responsibility, and then the abundance of the Lord's Spirit.
Yeah, there's got a couple options here.
Thanks, guys. That's all for today. We have more free resources to guide your next step in planning at concordiatheology.org. Check it out. You can find more episodes of Lectionary Kickstart and Tangible on any of the major podcast apps. If you'd like to see these shows continue, please subscribe, share, and leave a review. I'm your host and producer, Jessica Bordalo. Join us next week here at Lectionary Kickstart when Dr. David Schmidt and Dr. Peter Nafsker will spark your thoughts for next Sunday.
Give me melons, give me leeks,
right? Yeah,
give me onions. Yeah, so-